Thank you, Haley, and good morning, everybody. Not too long ago, at the occasion of our full-year call, we have announced that we have to reinvent ourselves to a certain extent. Today, I'm delighted to walk you through the details of our strategic partnership with ARE Austrian Real Estate, which is a first step of this reinvention. No doubt, Q1 numbers should have surprised you on the upside. They prove what potential can be unlocked by UBM and from UBM. Traditionally, I dare to say, Patric will take you through a strong set of financials, and also, as promised in our full-year call, I shall present you with our priority one pipeline, which gives you a better understanding of what projects we plan to complete until end of 2021, under any circumstances. It should come as no surprise that due to the current uncertainties, it is still too early for guidance, but never too early to share our thoughts regarding future scenarios. Please follow me to slide number four on the strategic partnership. For those following Austria media, they are aware of the noise the deal has created, not only in the press, but also in the marketplace. I got 1,000 calls, I think. It is a partnership developed out of a position of strength on both sides with two financially strong partners who have recently announced record years and have matching interests. The talks on this have started mid of last year, long before the corona crisis, of course. The reason behind the strategic partnership has become only more compelling through the crisis. Based on UBM's risk minimization strategy, we feel much more comfortable with a partner in our largest project in Munich, which may be valued at a sales price of up to half a billion euro once the corona dust has settled. With ARE, a government-owned leading developer, we have found the ideal 40% partner for our Baubergerstraße project in Munich, which most of you have followed for quite some while now. The strategic reasoning for ARE is clear: international diversification. It is their first project outside Austria. It is definitely not going to be their last one. At the same time, UBM remains interested to participate in large-scale projects in Austria, particularly in Vienna. With ARE, we have the opportunity to participate in the largest inner-city development in Vienna. It is an 11-hectare plot in the third district, and we are going to be a 51% partner in five out of 22 sub-projects, which are predominantly non-subsidized residential and, to a small extent, commercial developments. The sales value of our five developments is estimated to be around a quarter of a billion euro. With this, I would like to pass the mic to Patric, who has equally exciting news on the financial front.
Thank you, Thomas, and a good morning also from my side. Please turn now to slide number five. As Thomas already mentioned, the first quarter 2020 was exceptional in various dimensions. As you can see on the chart, we have quadrupled our earnings on a year-on-year comparison. In the first quarter, earnings before tax rose to 39.3 million euros and net profit to 22.9 million euros. On the one hand, we were able to book a significant profit from Baubergerstraße by getting ARE as a partner for the future development of the plot. In a way, it is nothing but a kind of forward deal. On the other hand, we got the first flavor from the COVID-19 impact on our numbers, which is, besides small operational effects in hotel and rental business, especially the effect from a much weaker zloty and Czech koruna. To put the first quarter into the right perspective for the year, we definitely have a front-loaded year 2020 with a lot of uncertainty ahead of us. Before we look into the future, let me explain how the Q1 result is made up. A quick sidestep into bookkeeping. In the first quarter, we had high fair value adjustments originating from a new market value triggered by a transaction. The deal has been signed on the basis of a valuation taking the future use of the land plot into account, which is commercial and residential. We acquired the site with a vision to work on the permit and ultimately change the permit to residential and commercial. The partnership with ARE is based on a changed permit situation. This not only gives us a new market value in terms of bookkeeping, it also leads to a cash payment after the approval of the antitrust authority. In the end, it is a standard forward deal which needs to be reflected appropriately. On top of this, we also generated some earnings contributions from POC also in this reporting period, as all our construction sites are up and running. We have not only seen positive earnings effects in this quarter, there were also material negative effects giving a first flavor of the potential COVID-19 impact on numbers. We had negative currency effects, mainly from the Polish zloty, of approximately €20 million alone. You can see them in the other operating expenses, but also in the at equity results. The comparatively high tax is predominantly impacted by the result composition, but also by the FX rate effects, as an FX rate effect doesn't prevent you from paying local taxes. I already mentioned that uncertain times lie ahead of us because the corona crisis could have significant effects going forward. First of all, travel restrictions have an effect on the hotel business. We have already mentioned that we expect a negative earnings contribution of €10 million on EBT this year. The underlying assumption for that is that hotels can be opened again from June onwards. Just as a reminder, in an ordinary year, we used to have a positive effect of €4 to €5 million on EBT from this side business. The impact from lost rental is forecasted to be in the range of €2 to €3 million for the full year, assuming that shops and restaurants are allowed to stay open going forward. Unclear is the situation when it comes to changes in valuation of our standing asset portfolio or when it comes to the valuation of assets under development. Value adjustments are likely during the course of the year, but cannot be assessed adequately. But also when it comes to asset values, we are benefiting from our strategic approach. In terms of standings, we have sold the majority of the assets in the past. In terms of developments, we always followed a conservative approach whenever possible, only reflecting future profits with the backing of a forward deal. The last uncertainty is FX. As most of you know, we are not hedging our FX exposure so far due to a benefit cost analysis, as we are selling our assets in euro and FX fluctuations have proven to be moderate on a longer term view. Under current circumstances, it might be different, but we don't know yet. Let's now turn to our balance sheet, slide number 6. We are not only glad about our current earnings situation, but also about our financial buffer. Our prudent financial policy and consequent risk minimization strategy pays off in a situation like this. By the end of the first quarter, equity stood at more than €480 million, which translates into a high equity ratio of 36%, the highest equity ever. The ratio might come down a bit as dividend payment is due in June and the balance sheet total could be expanded, but we are committed to our target range of 30 to 35%. Our net debt is also still quite low. Our loan-to-value ratio stands at 34%. Net debt went down by more than €250 million, and we still have a comparatively high portion of unencumbered assets. Although we made great progress, net debt is still on our agenda, not only because of COVID-19. I know I have mentioned this already in our last call, but I think the technical ability of a company is key in times like this. We have proven our ability to steer and control the balance sheet in the past, and we have the mechanisms in place to maintain control. This strong balance sheet is a huge competitive advantage today, because also in a freeze scenario, we have a financial setup that keeps us capable of action. This is also true for our liquidity, as you can see on the next chart. What do we mean with freeze scenario? In our freeze scenario, the real estate transaction market is at standstill for more than 1 year. We hope that this will turn out to be too pessimistic, but we need to prepare ourselves for a scenario like this. On top of that, we assume that the debt market remains closed, not only for bonds, but also for ordinary project financing. This is also true for our unencumbered asset base. We further assumed that forward sold deals are following our planned cash-in, as there are no indications that buyers will not be able to pay or withdraw from signed transactions. Assuming this stress scenario, we would end up with a liquidity of €85 million per end of Q1 2001, so a year in the future. Do I assume that we will not be able to sell in the second half of the year and banks still being in hibernation mode for companies like UBM? No. But we have the financial muscles to even cope with this scenario. Back to Thomas.
Thank you, Patrick. And I thought the full year numbers are the most exciting news from you in a long time. Please turn to slide 8. As promised, we have been right-sizing our record pipeline to prepare ourselves for every possible scenario. We have defined a list of focus projects, which we shall complete by end of 2021, again, and to be stressed, under any circumstances. You find a detailed list of these projects in the backup on page 13. Should there be more encouraging news on the economy, and even more important, available bank financing and sufficient pre-letting, we can extend the pipeline to €2 billion and still have €500 million worth of projects up our sleeves, if you want. Let us have a more detailed look at the breakdown of our focus pipeline. As you can see on slide 9, 50% of the €1.25 billion focus projects are made up from residential, 50% residential. This is the asset class all experts from CBRE to economists see least affected. We share this view even in a high unemployment scenario because of the segment we are targeting on the market. It is neither regulated living nor luxury. Hotel developments have been reduced by 13 percentage points and exclusively consist of the 2 forward sold hotels in Poland and the 4 hotels under construction: Holiday Inn Express Düsseldorf, Holiday Inn Express Potsdam, Foco in The Hague, and Anders in Prague. The forward sold Super 8 in Mainz has been handed over to the operator recently. What else? The focus is also shifted more to Germany, which is making up again 50% of the prior one pipeline. So 50% residential, 50% in Germany. Another 25% is going to come from Austria, and the remaining 25% is made up by the Czech Republic, Poland, and the Netherlands. In the next step, we have to go through our not yet started total projects and see what ideas we have to change them to another asset class. I promise to come up with these ideas by half year. We see no market to start any hotel projects in the next 2 to 3 years. Hotels, even more than retail, are the asset class longest term affected by the consequences of the pandemic, according to almost all market research. The good news is, should these studies prove to be too pessimistic, we have 4 hotels in almost every category which we can offer interested investors immediately. This brings me almost logically to the last slide of the formal part of our presentation, slide 10. No doubt, Q1 was an exceptional quarter in many respects. However, as mentioned at the beginning, it proves what potential can be unlocked from our development projects, or at least some of them. Let us try to guess what lies ahead of us, admittedly still hidden in dense fog. As mentioned, this was an exceptional quarter. It is clear nobody expects that we generate 40 million EBT every quarter. There are a number of negative effects we have flagged since mid-March. I would therefore expect that they are already included in our share price. These are the loss from our hotel operations and the lack of positive effects from sales due to a delay of such sales from the corona crisis. The pandemic lets us also revisit the valuation of our assets during the year and not only at year end. Now, the parameters for such valuations, or rather how they should be assessed, remain unclear. The big valuation experts even approached their clients to stand by until the dust has settled and not ask them for new opinions at this early stage, as the results may be premature or up for revision later. Finally, the pandemic has led to smaller currencies like the Polish zloty or the Czech krona to devalue quite significantly against the euro. This, of course, can go three directions in the next quarters. The currencies may come back to the long-term equilibrium at which they were trading in the past. In terms of zloty, that would be 4.25. There could be a further devaluation, or they remain stable at the current level. So much about the short term and assessing likelihoods. Not surprisingly, from today's perspective, we expect 2020 earnings to be significantly below 2019. Substantial corona effects still need to be expected in 2021. Why? Well, we have forward sold all projects for completion in 2020. With the chain of forward sales being interrupted by corona, 2021 will be indirectly affected by the crisis of today. On the other hand, we also believe in the opportunity created by the crisis and are determined and also set ourselves up to take advantage of such opportunities. I know that you hear this also from other listed companies, and it comes as no surprise, as we all believe that the market will fall apart into two type of companies, the stock-listed companies that still avail themselves of financing, and the private companies that have been over-leveraged already in the past. However, and in line with our conservative track record of the past, it would be overly optimistic to assume positive effects from this before 2022. In summary, we are extremely proud of our achievements in Q1, including a very fast reaction time to the crisis, and believe that Q1 forms a good buffer for all uncertainties ahead of us. Thank you for your attention and the time devoted to UBM. May I now open the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And the first question is from Andre Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. Thanks for the presentation and, let's say, the fair view on the current situation. A couple of questions, starting with your partnership with ARE and some mentioned cross participations. Could you give us an indication on the effects on exchanged investment volumes? You mentioned on the one hand the 250 million, but what is the potential volume in Eurogate? And also a potential effect on your cash flow here. And last question regarding that, you mentioned already a P&L effect in the first quarter. What was the volume here? That was the first question. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Andre, and thank you for paying us a compliment by saying we are presenting a fair and balanced view. To the ARA partnership, the Eurogate project on a sales price volume is going to be a quarter of a billion. Okay, we are not giving any investment prices because we don't want to kind of be totally see-through when it comes to our margins. Please keep in mind that that is over a period of time until 2024. Okay, so we are not going to book this within the ordinary course of a two-year construction period. You've asked us what is it about cross partnerships. Well, I think that's the perfect business model. Okay, if we solve a problem of a partner, which in this case is international diversification, ARE is huge in Austria. Okay, they're a big developer in Austria. For them to diversify their risks, the only choice they have is go abroad. And then, of course, Munich is the ideal location to test an internationalization. For us, the issue is how do we get into large-scale projects in the future? How do we acquire them? And that might change as some of the large-scale projects here in Vienna might get into troubles, but we don't know. So the easiest is you join forces with a developer that has on a regular basis large-scale projects like ARE has. And this is the type of partnerships we are going for. The second question on the cash flow, I would like Patrick to answer.
Well, if I got you right, Andre, the first question you had regarding this one is what would be the full year effect of the whole transaction? So from this point of view, we have seen most of the effect, I would even say all. With the fair value adjustment we have done in the 70 million, 69.9 million of that is this particular deal. It is based on a valuation and an assumption that we get a different situation in the land plot, and in this assumption the deal has been struck. So as long as we do not get a different indication on how we get to that kind of situation, this value will stay like it is. So don't expect that there is coming more. In terms of cash, we will receive after the approval from the authorities, from the antitrust authorities, which we hope to get soon, we will receive a share of the payment. This is roughly around 25 to 30 million. And we will pay, on the other hand, our share in the other one, which is roughly the same, a little bit less. So from a cash perspective, we pay out as much roughly as we get in.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Then a second question, just for clarification on your pipeline. The 1.25 billion, is this expected to be completed until year end 2021? Is this right?
Correct.
Okay. And the delta between 2.5 billion and 2 billion, is this a result of, let's say, delivered projects or reduced plans on the project volumes or simply postponements beyond 2023? Because the 2 billion is probably the number currently until 2023, right?
Yeah, Andre, the easiest would be if you follow us to slide 14, which is in the backup. I don't know if you've... here you can see the development pipeline beyond 2021, and you can clearly see that there are no completion dates. So in the previous breakdown of our pipeline, you saw completion dates. The reason is because we have to put them into an order. Now, we've started with the easiest, which is residential, okay? Now, in residential, the big thing is we need a certain pre-letting, okay? Or in this case, pre-sale, because we are selling these apartments. Then we have the offices, and here we need pre-letting, okay? And again, we have to see projects get a better situation there and therefore also an easier financing. At the moment, financing is very difficult, okay, to say it in a nice way. Banks are still in the standby modus, or how Patrick described it, in hibernation mode. Now, then comes the interesting category of hotel, which should shrink if not disappear. We have to think of different usage for, say, the first project is FAZ Tower, okay? By doing so, we reassign it and therefore can then start it rather sooner than later as the big FAZ tower, okay, is already under construction. I got the pictures, the photos of the concrete ground foundation this morning. It's really impressive. And last but not least, we have our large-scale projects, which are all mixed-use projects, okay, where we need to wait anyway to get the right zoning and then the approvals, and which will be done step by step. So you're absolutely right. The 2 billion is the project that we could kind of, you know, start subject more to the conditions that I've set. And then the 500 million projects up our sleeve is the projects that are kind of, you know, more difficult to assess in terms of timing.
So this combines mostly the hotels and the longer term projects?
Yes. So if you want from 1.25 to 2, it's more the residential ones and the office ones. Yeah, and then the 500 million is the ones that are a bit further away. But it cannot be broken down by asset classes, okay? It has to be looked at project by project. As promised, with our half-year numbers, which we publish only in August, but still, you will get a better understanding of what we do, and there will be also completion dates for the first projects of this list on page 14. Okay.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Then the last question, more general question concerning your current discussions with potential investors for forward sales. How was the situation over recent weeks? Do you have tangible interest, or is all still on hold at the investor side? What is your experience here? And one potential disposal is the FSZ tower. Is this realistic to assume, at least for the office part, to get a forward sale already this year?
Look. It's mixed. There is almost no change, including the yield that investors expect with residential projects. Okay, and that came a bit as a surprise, because we would have expected that people would at least try to bargain. Nothing of this is visible, neither in Austria nor in Germany. Okay, I'm not mentioning Prague, because in Prague we are already in a conversion phase, or in a execution phase, and there in Grafička we had a slowdown of demand, simply because people, you know, can only virtually visit the apartments Ladila. Then you've asked me on FAZ Tower. FAZ Tower is an exceptional project, because we have the FAZ Foundation, okay, which is a single tenant with very high credit worthiness. Okay, so it's almost like having a state-owned tenant, and the demand there is not representative, but is very strong. It's very strong. Because it's a long-term lease contract that we are talking about. And that shows to us that the appetite from kind of, you know, not discount hunting investors is still there. But I don't dare to say if it is really representative. What we can see is a bit of a split situation when it comes to office tenancy agreements. Okay, we had a couple of tenants who clearly said we are out. Okay, not signed contracts, like fitness centers, for example. Okay, they are really struggling. And then we have, on the other hand, almost unbroken kind of, you know, demand, at least expressed interest of demand from the classic office tenants, because in some of the cities, okay, they expect the situation to be pretty unchanged to prior of the crisis, which is a undersupply of office space. This is true for both Vienna and Berlin. So in a nutshell, there is a change in behavior. It is not all bright, but it came as a bit of a surprise to us that at least the expressed interest, okay, hasn't died down completely.
But you mentioned the tenant side, so the demand for space. I'm asking a bit on the investor side, especially when it comes to agreements on forward sales.
Yeah, there will be forward sales also in the future. They will be strongly dependent on tenancy agreements and the vault of these tenancy agreements.
Okay, that's clear. Okay, that's from my side. Thank you very much.
Sure.
The next question is from Stefan Scharf of SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning from Frankfurt, gentlemen. Stefan here from SRC. The first question is about the carrying amount of equity accounted companies was reduced by about 23 million to only 112 million. Can you give us some background here? It's page 7 of your quarterly report. The second question is about your residential projects. Perhaps you can give us here a safe status on your residential projects, please. And perhaps say a little bit more about the opportunities to switch some mixed-use projects more into residential use, as for instance the Leopold Quarter in Vienna, but I think there are also some other opportunities to switch more into residential use. And the third question is about your expectation regarding the hotel's operating business after the reopening, as reopening happens in these days.
Stefan, maybe I answer in reverse order. Reopening. We were a bit too optimistic when we had our first call on 20th of March. The first hotels open after Pentecost, Pfingsten, okay? So we will start to open the hotels gradually over the course of June, okay, with the exception of Jochberg, which is a holiday destination hotel in Kitzbühel, you know it anyway. That is more mid-July, and here we have to really see where the break-even is and if it's worth to open it for what might be a weak summer season. Now, why didn't we change the EBT impact on these hotels? The reason is we have been overly pessimistic on cost savings. It was much easier for us than we thought to kind of, you know, put the hotels into hibernation mode, if you want, and much less costly. And that has almost, you know, eked out itself, if you want. Now, the third question that you had was on mixed-use projects more going to residential. I've been very clear that we don't see a market for new hotel projects in the next 2 to 3 years. Okay, I don't think that you hear that as clearly from somebody else, and it might come as a surprise to hear that from the formerly largest hotel developer in Europe. But you draw the consequences out of the affection. And of course, that means it goes into either residential or, as I said, office. That for us, the biggest surprise is that there is strong office demand. The reason probably is that if you, at the moment, lease 5,000 square meters, and in the future, because of right-sizing your employee, your staff, you only need 3,000 square meters, it is very difficult to do that within the 5,000 square meters. You rather break or get out of your lease contract, okay, and get into a 3,000 square meter office building that is also designed to a potential next pandemic, and which is designed more to say hot desking. I think that is going to be a big theme going forward, with people assuming that 30% of their workforce could permanently work from home. Okay, and then we'll see if that is really a reality. Now, number two question was residential projects. How much has been sold so far? Out of the projects which are under construction, 70% of the apartments have been forward sold, which is a very comfortable ratio anyway. And as I said, no change in the demand behavior of residential. On the contrary, some of the projects even got under higher demand because it seems that people are pretty worried about the money. For the first question, which I was struggling to understand, I turned it to Patrick as always.
Stefan, you are referring to the book values, if you want, of the at equities and the change in these ones. So a couple of reasons for that. One reason is that, and you can see that in, also in the cash flows, that some cash came up from a dividend payment of Anderswohn, which is a company which has, or which is apartments which have been sold last year, and the at-equity company now paid dividend in the first quarter, and that was a 15 million number alone. Then the second reason is that currency effects also had an effect on the value of the at equity companies, because quite some of them are in Poland or with the Sugar Palace in the Czech Republic. And with the currency effect, the number also comes down a bit. That is another 12 million. And the rest is ups and downs, everything. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much.
The next question is from Julia Sinauer of Hauck Aufhäuser Private Bankers AG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So I have two questions. So first of all, so do you have a new target share for your segments and countries? Because you say you're increasing the residential share and also the office share. So will you then finally be in residential and office developer? That's my first question. And the second question is, so when would you start looking into opportunities again? What would be the triggers or the signs from the market that would encourage you to actually go into new acquisitions?
Mm-hmm. Again, I started in reverse order. The opportunity doesn't depend on us. At the moment, as I said, the irritating thing is everybody tells you we are strong and we are just waiting like the Pavlov's dog to get to supper. Okay. And the question is, will it happen? If you listen to our peers, particularly the non-listed one, they're all playing it strong and they say, if anything, it creates an opportunity. I don't buy into it because, on the other hand, I see the banks behaving as they are almost forced to behave. Okay. And I believe, at the latest by summer, they will get cold feet. Particularly where they have an overexposure to under equity furnished projects, okay? And that is probably also triggered by opinions on the valuation, and you have a loan-to-cost clause in many of the financing structures, and all of a sudden you will see that big blocks of projects are coming to the market. And that for us is in theory the opportunity. Now, that would indicate it could be as early as autumn, okay, as early as after summer. Now, there is no guarantee for it. And I know that many of you think we are overly pessimistic, and we are, I admit. The reason is because we believe that managing the upside is much easier than managing the downside. And unfortunately, over the last couple of weeks, we have been proven right. So that is all open. The important thing is you need to be ready and you need to set up yourself and you need to get aware of such projects before some of your competitors, jump on it, because then you are getting into a bidding process. Now, new target shares. We never had real target shares. We used to say in an ideal world, we have a third, a third, a third. Okay. Now, hotel is going to shrink. Okay. Period. It will not leave us totally. That is simply because we have these projects under development and they have to, so to say, in German, you say, sie müssen hinauswachsen, like the hair, once you've dyed it. What we can say is the 50% resi, okay, is pretty high at the moment, and the opportunity arising on the resi side is probably less obvious than on the office side, because everybody, you know, sees that resi is not going to suffer all too much, and we have to see what high unemployment rates have as an impact on these. So we don't have target ranges, and we admit, which we don't like to be, that we are opportunistic when it comes to opportunities to a certain extent. Probably that is why they are called opportunities.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, always a pleasure.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. The next question is from Sebastian Stelz of UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello everybody, also from my side. Yeah, it's understood that the future is pretty unpredictable and foggy, as you stated. However, we would like to get a better feeling what happens when we're facing an L development. And maybe you can give us some meat on the question, how high are UBM's fixed cost or fixed cost ratio? And not all the fixed cost, also the variable costs who are not immediately adapted.
Mm-hmm. Look, we have talked about an L development, and we've mentioned several times in our speech ahead of the Q&A session that we are setting up ourselves for all scenarios, including an L scenario. In an L scenario, okay, which would be a bit the big depression, we are restricting ourselves to the core pipeline, period. Okay, we do the 1.25 billion and try to be last man standing in this game. Not very much else that you can do. And for such L scenario, Patrick presented you the freeze scenario on our liquidity side, which is basically nothing and nobody moves, which means that, of course, liquidity is shrinking, but in a perspective of 12 months, we are still at 85 million cash, and we would probably be even more stingy with the cash. Patrick, you want to answer the fixed and variable cost cash?
I try to, because that is not quite easy to be answered, Sebastian. But anyhow, let me give it a try. Because one thing is, what is the reason for the L scenario? So if the reason is that we see another COVID-19 wave or waves, and for example, the hotel piece is infected from that, we would have the problem that I couldn't say that hotels is sufficient, self-sufficient in terms of costs. Our today's assumption is that when travel is coming back, at least to a certain amount, we can forget about the hotel business as such, because it will be at least self-sufficient in terms of cost. So any fixed cost which is inside this one or any variable cost will in the end be financed by the customer. And I think that is a rather pessimistic approach we are having here. But as I said, if your L assumption is that this is not true, that travel is coming back, we would have their fixed costs. We would have to reduce the fixed cost to a certain amount. There is a borderline which can't be crossed, because in the end, it would end up in bankruptcy of certain hotels, probably, this part of the piece. The rental business, same story. If we assume that rents are at least, or that the situation is to an extent that in the rental business, rents are paid and the occupancy rate of our standing assets is still there, it is also a kind of self-sufficient business in itself. So where we would end up with is the development business. So as far as we assume that we do certain developments still, we need a certain headcount in order to cater for that. The headcount number, probably you could have in mind, which is not being put into any kind of development, is 10 to 12 million. So that is a fixed cost number we would have to look at and we would have to cater for. A second piece of the puzzle is, if we are not developing, we still need to pay interest. Probably not for developments we have not started, but at least for the bonds. And that is a 15 million number. So you could call that fixed, you could call that variable, but in the end I have to cater for that. In an L scenario, if I do not any development any further, probably a flattish repayment profile has also a disadvantage, and that is that you can't pay it easily back. So we have the 50 million this year, you have the 50 million next year, but I have bonds out in the amount of 490 million, roughly 500 million, so I need some time to repay that. In total, I know that it is not an easy answer, but that is basically what we have to look at. All the rest is bound to a project. If the project stops, the cost stops.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Simon Stippig of Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning from Hamburg, and thank you for taking my question. The first question would regard any supply chain issues. Can you see, we had that in the past, and we had that during Corona, as you discussed already. So I would just wonder if you see any new issues, especially maybe in raw materials, etc., arising, or maybe caused due quarantine, any people coming from abroad, construction workers coming from abroad.
Okay. No. Those supply chain problems that we've seen have disappeared. I mentioned it in the full year call. Maybe one of the big advantages of being exposed to the construction industry is that the construction industry is used to improvising. I mean, basically, construction is improvisation. Okay? And yes, it can still be in the one or other case that you have to shift around the plan of when do you do the one thing or when do you do the other thing. The most dangerous projects are the ones that are almost finished, because here you cannot say, okay, there is a lack of gravel, to say something stupid, okay, so I first do something else. Okay, you can't do that when you're approaching the finishing lines. But at the moment, none of our projects, okay, are facing really supply chain difficulties. They are all facing a lot of improvisation and a lot of reshuffling construction plans, polier plane, okay, but that has no negative impact on the progress of the projects.
Okay, great. Thank you. And maybe a second question in regard to the FAZ Tower in Frankfurt. Those tenancy agreements, they are signed and like the rent levels are set, or how can I understand that?
Yes, both yes and yes. And let me assure you, because we are in close contact with the management of FAZ, they are waiting for the FAZ tower so that they can move in and dispose of their old headquarters. So we even signed up for a completion date, and therefore everything is fixed.
Okay, great. And one last maybe financial questions in regard to your cash flow statement under the cash flow from investing activities. But you have this, it's not a net number, it's a gross number, and your investments in project financing reached 38 million. Could you just give a little bit more color to which project that was earmarked for?
Yes, of course. Most of the number is coming from the money we have put into our share to acquire FAZ. So that was alone 21 million of the 38. The rest are much smaller numbers. Let me remind you that we doing the QBC, that we built in Potsdam and hotel, and that we do the Sugar Palace. But that all together is a smaller number. So the 38, which appears to be big for a run rate, is impacted by the one-off effect of from acquiring the shares for FAZ.
Okay, great. Great, thank you very much.
Sure.
And there are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Winkler for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for all the time. It's been an hour. We don't usually do this long. I hope everybody was excited by what we could present to you. We still are. I hope that you hear it, despite all the soberness, which we think is applicable in a state of uncertainty. Looking forward to talking to you after the summer break or whenever you need any additional information. As always, Anna and her team are available, and the same is true for Patrick and me. Bye-bye.
Bye.